Have your Bibles, you can go to the book of, let's start in Colossians tonight. Seems like a good place to go. Praise the name of Jesus. He's good to us.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Before we get into the Word, Father, we do love you so much. Lord, we need your help. We need your utterance. We need your guidance tonight. This is not about the name of a church or a man. This is about you. And so we're looking to you. Our eyes are on you tonight. And Father, be God here tonight. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, I do endeavor to speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise and glory for everything said and done tonight. Father, I thank you. I'm going to say something that's going to hit the bullseye at every single person's heart here. Even though I don't know everybody personally in here, even though I don't know what everybody's going through, Father, I thank you. You're going to speak to them. And Father, it's going to be a sign unto them that you're real, that you love them, and that you have a better tomorrow for them, Father. And that this is a safe place where they can come and hear your precious word. And so, Father, for that, and beforehand, we thank you. We thank you for what's to be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4, in verse 12, says this. Now, I commend you for being here tonight. You're here to pick up your mail.
Amen.
Amen. You know, a lot of people don't have the revelation that the New Testament church, when the pastor of a New Testament church, and a pastor that's following the Word and the Spirit, when he gets direction on when to have church, that's direction from the Holy Ghost. You know, we're not here on a Wednesday night because I thought it was a good idea. We're not here on, Sunday mornings, you know, that was God's plan. You know, on Sunday mornings is kind of when we do things. But it's God's plan to have church. And so when God has a plan to have church, he doesn't just gather people for the heck of it for fun, just to get his people all in one place. No, it's what goes on there. And so he doesn't want to waste your time. And so what he does, if the pastor's seeking God, he'll get a word from heaven and bring it to you. And this is mail time from God. Hallelujah. So I commend you for being here. The Lord has really impressed it upon my heart, especially Sunday mornings during the announcements, to really stress the importance of Wednesday night service. Amen. Because it's getting mail from heaven. And so many people, they'll go a whole year and never avail themselves to a midweek service, never avail themselves to a guest minister service. That's a lot of mail being left in the mailbox. You know, if you decided to leave half your mail in the mailbox and never look at it for a whole year, you might get in trouble. You might miss out on some things that were there for you that you didn't take advantage of. Amen?
Amen?
And so we don't want to do that. So I commend everyone for being here. But in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Now notice this, always laboring fervently for you. Well, that sounds like there's some intensity behind it. Sounds like it's serious.
Yeah.
Amen? In prayers, he was a prayer. But what was he praying and laboring fervently? He says that you would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
He's saying it's important that I'm praying for you, that you are in God's perfect will. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the perfect will of God and some things about that. But what I like about that is the perfect will of God is doing everything his way and receiving everything that he has for you. Notice he says he wants you to stand perfect and complete in that place. Not depressed and broke down and beaten. Because a lot of times the devil will tell people that if you fully commit to God, it's not going to be a good life. That things are going to be bad for you and that things are going to not be fun. And things are going to be so difficult and hard doing it God's way. But he says, I want you to stand perfect and complete in that place. Well, if he says, I want you to stand perfect and complete, that must mean it's a possibility. Amen. But he's laboring fervently for the church, the Colossian church here, that they would find that place. Because he knows that in that will of God is where the blessing is. Amen. So many people don't realize that the more they do it their way, the more they will struggle. The more that they continue to go against the ways of God and do it their own way and do it their own thinking, the more they're going to struggle, the harder it's going to be for them. Listen, let me tell you something. It's in the perfect will of God. That's where your finances are. That's where your divine healing is. That's where your protection is. That's where your long life is. That's where the blessing for your family is. That's where the promotions, the favor of God, the wisdom of God, that's where it all is. Inside the perfect will of God. That's why he's saying, I'm laboring fervently for you. I'm doing this. I'm constantly striving for this, always to pray that you would find the perfect will of God. Because it's outside the will of God where the frustration lies. It's outside the will of God where there's always going to be trouble financially, where the physical symptoms of sickness and disease are commonplace. He says outside, and so many people wonder why it's not working for them. Well, it's not going to work until you start doing it his way. He only promises the blessing inside of his way. Can you pull up real quick Proverbs 10 and verse 22? Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Now look at this. He says, I'm laboring that you be in his will. Proverbs 10 in verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord. Well, that's the Lord there is also has to do with his will, his plans and his purpose. But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, you could say it this way, the blessing of doing it God's way or the blessing of getting into his will for your life. You'd say it that way, either way. He said, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. What's he saying? When you get into my will, when you submit to my will, when you step into my will for your life, it makes you rich in all areas. Physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all areas of life, it makes you rich and adds no sorrow with it. Where the sorrow comes is when we try to obtain the things that God offers us, prosperity, health, favor, protection, all those things that the world is striving for. You know, the world wants the same things as we want. They want to be blessed financially. They want to make sure that they're healed and whole. They want to make sure they're protected. They want to make sure their kids are serving God. They want to make sure all the same things that we want. But the thing is, they strive for it and go after it a different way. And the Bible says when you don't do it God's way, there's sorrow attached with it. That's why we want to do things God's way. Then there's no sorrow attached with it. Praise God. Psalm chapter 91 and verse 1. Psalm 91 and verse 1. Notice this here. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That sounds like dead center in his will. Right where he is, right? Under his shadow. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, the shadow of the Almighty includes only his will. It does not include outside. See, the shadow's talking about inside his domain, inside his realm. It's not talking about outside of him. He's saying, this is inside of me. Well, then if you look, we won't look at it for time's sake, but you need to look down through verses 2 through 16 sometime. He says that if you'll do verse 1, verses 2 through 16 will come to pass for you, which are protection, which are long life, which are verses about prosperity. Amen. He said, all this is available in my will. So many people are out blaming God. Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? Stop it. God's will is offering you the chance to be rich, not just financially, but rich in your mind, rich in your body, rich in your emotions, rich with your family, rich in favor. And people are all the time. I hear it all the time. I used to be one of them. When things don't go right, when things are going wrong and you can't understand it, but I've been a good person. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of good people that are going through hell on earth. Yeah. Being a good person does not make you qualified for the blessing of God. Getting in his will does. Right. Amen. Yeah. It's just the truth. And people need to know that because there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of moral people. There's a lot of people that are doing the right thing. They're givers. They're generous. I mean, I'm not just talking in the church and obeying that way. I mean, just in life, they're great people. They're you know, there's certain, you know, it's a sad thing, that, but there's some people in the world that are more generous and more of a blessing and more people you can rely on than people in the church. Right? There's some good people that I know that don't know a lick about God, but I'll tell you what, they're more reliable. They're more honorable and just different things like that. But that doesn't qualify them for God's highest and best. And then when the devil moves in, because see, under the shadow of the Almighty, it's kind of like, the mother goose. What does she do with her little baby? She spreads out those wings and they come right under there. Why? There's protection under there. The predators don't have as easy of a time getting to them when the mom's got them all tucked under there. It's when the little baby geese go outside there where the trouble is found, right? It's the same thing for people. They're outside the will of God, and they're wondering, why don't I have the protection of God? Why don't I have the favor of God in my life? Well, you're not in the right place to receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about blaming the Father. The Father says, listen, if you'll dwell in the secret place of my shadow, under the Most High, you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, all these things will come unto you, verses 2 through 16. But 2 through 16 don't come until verse number 1 is found. And that's got to be found in His will. Amen? So His will is where you want to be. I'm going to tell you how to get into His will here in a second. But what I want you to, first of all, let's take a look at this. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. You're going to find out tonight, it is so simple, ladies and gentlemen. It is so easy. God's ways are not hard. God's ways are not confusing. Man has made God's ways hard. Man has made God confusing, but God's not confusing. You know why God's not confusing? Because He loves His children. And some of His children are simpletons like me. And He had to make it simple for me to understand. Amen? And I'm being serious as I can be, not being facetious or, you know, tongue-in-cheek when I say that. He had to make it simple for people like myself. But He did. He made it so easy. You know that following a GPS is simple. If you have ears, and you'll just be submitted to what the GPS is, when she says turn right up here on this exit, don't keep going straight. Right. Amen? Take the right turn. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the GPS might sometimes not have the best route, but the Bible's the most accurate GPS there is. Amen. Now, look at this. You want to find out how to be in God's will? Well, let me tell you again. In God's will is where the abundant life is. What's the abundant life? The life as God enjoys it. You know the life that Jesus prayed? See, when people are not living like heaven on earth, there's something wrong because that's not God's will. Jesus said, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. In the book of the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it said that they shall experience days of heaven on the earth. In John 10 and verse 10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. You know, for all those years in the Old Testament, people thought God was the thief. They must have. They were attributing the destruction. They were attributing death to God. And Jesus said, wait a second. God is not the one doing this. There's a thief that's the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer. Didn't Job think God was the thief? Job said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. But yet the Bible clearly says Satan came and stole from Job. But he didn't know any better. He didn't know any better, and so a lot of those writers in the Old Testament didn't know any better, but Jesus said, oh, no. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. That word life in the Greek is the word zoe. It means the God kind of life or the life like God enjoys. Well, what's God enjoying? Prosperity, health, victory, peace, tranquility. I mean, all those things is what God's enjoying. Praise God. So if you want to know how to get into that perfect will, I'm going to show you right now. It's simple. It is so simple. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What's transformation mean? Change. Change from what? Well, when you got born again, you got changed from spiritual death to spiritual alive forever. You live forever, right? Well, transform from poverty to prosperity. Transform from depression to joy. Transform from sickness to health, right? Transform from defeat to victory. That's what it's talking about. Being transformed into what? The way He is. Transformed. Now, how do we do that? By the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, so the Bible says the way we're going to be transformed into what He wants us to be is our mind has to get renewed. But what is our mind going to have to get renewed to? The Word, His ways. Until we start thinking like His ways, we won't believe like His ways, we won't live like His ways, we won't see His ways, right? Praise God. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. He has a will for you financially. He tells you in the Bible what to do with your money. He tells you if you'll do in the Bible what I say to do with your money, this will come, or whatever the result will be. One place, it's he'll open the windows of heaven for you. Pour out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive it. One place is if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully, right? He said one place, if you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. He said in one place that if you'll honor him with the first fruits of your increase and your substance, he said that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He's talking about increase there. All sorts of different places in the Bible. He says, do this and you'll receive more. Well, if you want to get out of lack and receive more, you got to do what he says in his word. You got to renew your mind to think like the word. Then you'll do the word and you'll live what the word says. So here's what the Bible's saying to us. The transformation comes by the word, thinking like the word, but notice the result. He says that you'll prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, here's what I want to say to you. You want to get into God's perfect will for your life? The word of God will lead you smack dab center into God's will. How do you get into the will of God? You get into the word of God. When you do the word and you live a life of the word, you're just living the life of the will of God, because God's will is only ever expressed or ever made known to us through his word. We don't know what God would want for us to do or what God would want us not to do unless he gave us his word. Now, you have to understand, though, the word comes in two forms. The word comes first and foremost in the written word. In the written word. He tells us and gives us certain guidelines and things. And we don't violate the written word. Why? Because the written word is his will. Praise God. People say, I don't know if I should go to church. You don't have to wonder or pray about that. It's in here. Well, should I tithe or shouldn't I tithe? It's already in here. He already laid it out for you. Should I forgive that person or not? They were pretty awful. Well, the word already says to do so. Get out of your will and get into his will. How? By doing the word. Yeah. So every time you come to church and you hear the word, or every time you're listening to live stream or an archive, or going to a guest minister meeting, or listening to a supplement somehow in your faith, or you're in the word by yourself at home, and you come across something in your life that doesn't look like what the Bible says, that is one place where you are out of the perfect will of God. So what do? You make an adjustment, and that puts you further closer to that bullseye, that center. You know, I'm an archer, and I shoot, and the best you can get is the 10 ring. And if you're shooting competitively, you want to get right smack dab in the center of that circle. And the more you shoot on the outside, the less points you get. You don't get rewarded for being out here. You get rewarded for being here. It's the same with God. And so every time you hear something, that's honing you and getting you closer to that bullseye. The closer you are to that bullseye, the closer you'll look like the Word of God, which is blessing and abundant life. Amen? So it comes through the written word, but it's also important to know this. It comes through the spoken word. Because there's no word in here that tells me what spouse I'm supposed to be with. Right? When you're single and you're looking for somebody, it doesn't tell you, hey, you know, that cute girl over there that's in your biology class, she's the one for you. There's no scripture on that. The Bible gives you guidelines of what kind of a person to go for and to hook yourself up with, but it doesn't tell you the person, doesn't tell you the exact job, doesn't tell you the exact vehicle, the exact home, the exact town, the exact church you're supposed to go to, right? It tells you, you know, that you can believe for those things and how to follow those things, but that comes through the spoken word, where he'll tell you something in your heart. Well, that's just as much the word of God as the written word of God. You need to also obey those things. For example, if God's telling you, hey, go talk to Aunt so-and-so about me. Well, that's just as much his word as the written word. And when you don't do that, you're again moving outside that bullseye. Why? Because his word is his will. His word is the perfect will for your life. Amen. So it's the written word and the spoken word are where the will of God is. So you want to get into the will of God, simply step out of doing it your way, commit to doing it to the word's way, and then commit also to doing whatever he speaks on your heart. Amen. If he tells you, hey, you ought to volunteer to do nursery. Hey, you ought to let pastor know you can sing. Hey, you ought to let pastor know you're good with computers. Hey, you ought to let pastor know you wouldn't mind cleaning. We need cleaners, and the Holy Ghost is telling you to do that. Well, when you don't do stuff like that, you're violating his will. And his perfect will for your life is to do whatever he says to do in your heart. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, we have to understand this, though. The Bible says the commandments of God are not grievous. He's never endeavoring to lead you into anything to hurt you. He's your Father. He loves you. He proved it by Jesus. Amen? Amen. It might not always be something you like. It might not be always be something that makes sense to you or is something that you enjoy, but it's always to lead you into better, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 16, and this is what we're going to look at tonight. Say, wait a minute, we've already been here long enough. What do you mean? Well, we're just getting started. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16. I'll tell you, you know, this is what my pastor told me. He said, Pastor Mike, as a shepherd, you're going to have to clean up a lot of poop. Why? Because sheep poop.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But you know a lot of the poop that I have to clean up? It's because people made decisions outside of God's will, and then there were repercussions and consequences. You know, a lot of the things that we go through, a lot of times, let's just be honest, really, we probably didn't need to go through. I can say that. There's a lot of things in my past I didn't need to go through, that I stepped outside of the will of God, did things my own way. Now, that's not always the case, and we'll look at some of those things tonight. But a lot of times, I'll see people frustrated, and I'll see people, and I'll even have told people to do a certain thing, the Word of God, they went and did it their own way, and then there was a fallout and repercussions. Of course, you don't beat them over the head for that. You just love them back to Jesus and help them where they're at. But it's important just to get into the center of His will. That way we don't have to be stumbling around in the dark. Amen?
Amen.
But Romans 4 and verse 16 says this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16 says, And these are likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. Notice this, they have no root in themselves. And they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution... You know what affliction and persecution are? Tests and trials. That's all they are. But notice this, it says, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now this is what I want you to see. What did I tell you is the way to get into God's perfect will? Follow His word. Follow the written word, follow the spoken word in your heart, and you'll be smack dab center. So many people make decisions in life, never consult the Bible, never consult their own heart. They do a pro and cons list. They do what seems good. They go by what their mind says, and they go and they make life-altering decisions and never even find out if God was in it or not. All the time. Man, I don't want to play lottery like that with my life. But this is what you need to see. Remember, how do you get into God's will? It's simple. Do the word, obey the word in your heart. That'll put you in God's will for your life. Now, this is what you need to see, and this is where we're going tonight. He said, with the word comes something. Persecution and affliction, which we call what? Tests and trials, arise for the word's sake. So whenever the word is given, and the endeavoring to obey and follow the word, there's always going to be tests and trials attached with that word. For the word's sake. Why? The tests and trials come to steal that word out of that person's life. Why? Because that word is the very thing that's going to move people in to the bullseye, the center, the ten ring of the will of God, where the most abundance is, where the most healing is, where the most peace is, where the most protection is. And so when tests and trials arise, remember, if you go up here, it says in verse 15, it says that Satan comes to take away the word. Why would Satan want to take away the word? He takes away the word. He takes away the will of God. He takes away the will of God. And you're out here splattered all over the target, not getting as many points and hitting where you need to be. So the Bible says in verse 17, when you follow the word, there's going to be tests and trials associated with that word to try to steal that word out of your life. What I'm saying to you is this. If you're going to be somebody that's going to endeavor to do things God's way, which you'll never regret it, and to get into that center of God's will for your life, once and for all, it will not go unchallenged. It will not go unchallenged, and you're foolish to think it will. And that's why I'm preaching a message like this, because if I could get you to remember something, I hope my annoying little voice rings in your head over and over and over again, that when you commit to doing it God's way, that I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to make sure my family's in church. I'm going to make sure to be in my visitations with Him. I'm going to make sure to do what's right financially. I'm going to do what's right with my eyes. I'm going to do what's right with my hands. I'm going to live right. I'm going to talk right. I'm going to walk right. I'm going to endeavor to obey God fully. You have to understand that hell just is going to ramp up. Hell's getting ready to unleash an assault against you. Why? To get you to back off from doing the very thing that's going to lead you into the best life you've ever had. Amen. Amen. It's just the truth. And if you don't know that, when the assault comes, you'll get a thought in your head, hey, it wasn't this bad before I started going to church. It wasn't this bad before I started obeying. I started obeying tithing, and now my money's worse than ever, and He's telling me it's going to get better. Yeah. Well, I didn't tell you that. The Bible did. Amen. He said, if you don't faint, you'll reap. So evidently, it's along the lines of when people faint is when they don't reap it. Praise God. Let me give you an example. Remember what I said. When the Word comes, comes the tests and trials. Well, back in January of 2002, I got born again. Later that year, I had finally committed fully to God. You know, I was afraid that He would send me as a missionary. Didn't want to go. And so I didn't fully commit to Him and hearing His plan for my life because I was afraid of what He would say. But see, when you just, see, to endeavor to get in His will is a demonstration of, I trust You, Father. That no matter what You say to me, no matter what You tell me to do, You know best, right? That's what I was saying on Sunday when, you know, Jesus said that you're a fool to not do His word. He must be thinking people are dumb, right? Because he's perfect, and He knows that whatever I tell you is only going to lead you into better. Why wouldn't you do what I say? And so when He says something, regardless of what you think is good or not, now let me give you the best example I can think of is this. When you are in life, and see, God might speak something to you, written word or spoken word, that the walking that out, for example, let's just use tithing as an example. It's a simple one. Let's say you come across the word on tithing. Well, you know what that means. That means you bring 10% of what you make. Well, instantly everybody's head goes to what they make in a year, and they think, oh my God, 10%, what am I going to do about that, right? And that's what the devil will tell you, and oh, how are you going to do that? But naturally, you might say, how can I do that when I got this stack of bills like this? How can I do this when I'm hardly making enough money to get by now, and you're telling me God's asking me to bring 10%. So what you're seeing is all that's in front of you of actually stepping out and obeying that, right? Well, I liken that to being somebody that's lost in the woods. And, you know, when you're, for example, you know, it's really hard to get lost around here in the woods. It's really kind of, you might get lost for a little bit, but if you just walk in one direction for an hour, you're going to probably hit Walmart. Somewhere, right? Or a grocery store or something. Or a road, you know? You know, there's a silly law, and I said this last night. There's a silly law in Pennsylvania. It's so stupid. You can't kill porcupines in Pennsylvania. And you might think, well, that's good. They're cute little animals. Well, they're bad for trees and bad for turkey eggs. And if you mess with the turkeys, I'm not a fan of you. Because baby turkeys end up being targets for me later, amen, and dinner for me later. But anyways, you can't kill a porcupine in Pennsylvania. Here's why. Because if you get lost, it's an animal that you could eat to help you survive. Well, in Pennsylvania, just walk an hour one direction, you'll be all right, probably. Praise the Lord. But anyways, somebody that gets lost in the woods around here, doesn't know where to go, all they can see is the trees in front of them. Well, if you showed them an aerial map, if they got an aerial map of where they were exactly located right then and there, right, they would see, oh, all I got to do is walk this direction 2 miles and I'm hitting a main road. And then they're not lost anymore, even though they can't see it. Well, that's the same way. When God tells you to do something, all you can see are the trees in front of you. All you can see are the dead ends in front of you. All you can see is, I give 10% and I can't pay my bills. I do this and I can't do this. And I do this and this fallout. God's telling me to go take this job. God's telling me to go this place or whatever, and all you see is the potential fallout and the natural and all the devil's telling you. When God sees it from an aerial map, and He says, oh yeah, if they'll just do that and go that way, right there on the other side of that's blessing. Right there on the other side is help. See, that's where it comes into trust. I don't need to see how it ends. I just need to know that if I obey what he says at the beginning, the end will take care of itself. But that's what people do. And so it's like this. He told me in January 2002, I got born again. I gave my heart to him one morning on the way to work. And then I was in a service a few weeks later. I wasn't more than 2 weeks, I don't think. And I heard the audible voice of God told me to go to Rhema. Well, I knew what that meant. That meant go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Well, the school year had already started, so I couldn't go that year. And I didn't even know if I was supposed to go to school there. So in February of 2003, I went to Brother Hagin's last Winter Bible Seminar down on the campus down there. Well, when I was at Winter Bible Seminar, I fulfilled that word, go to Rhema, I did. But I knew then that I was supposed to go there for more than just Winter Bible Seminar. So in the following fall of 2003, I set out to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. Now, in doing that, you talk about the trees in front of you and the brush and the thick stuff that you have to walk through. All I could see was, my goodness, I'm leaving everything comfortable. I'm leaving all that I know. I don't have anybody supporting me. I have a truck that's super old, almost 200,000 miles, so rusty I could throw a snowball through it. And I did one time. I'll tell you, people thought I had an arm on me. No, that's just my truck. I mean, it's like throwing it through a piece of paper. I picked up a snowball and chucked it right through the thing. Right through it. It was amazing. I mean, you talk about thinking I was superhuman. But I wasn't. But that's just how old my truck was. I had that truck, had no money, had to get a job. It was terrible. All I could think of was the bad things. And now I look at it what I learned there and everything that was imparted into me and how I was able to use my faith and different things like that. I wouldn't be here today had I not obeyed that word. But this is what I want you to see. He says, go to Rhema. So I initially get past all the wrong thoughts and thinking of what that's going to mean for my life. And I get to Rhema. And all hell breaks loose financially. The gas lines in my truck, I mean, I was so afraid someone was going to throw a cigarette underneath my truck as I was driving down the road. I thought I was going up in flames. I don't know if that's even possible, but that's what I thought back then. I was nervous. It was coming out as fast as it was going in. Smelled like gas. My gas lines, everything rusted out on the bottom of the truck. Had to get that all fixed. I didn't have money for tuition. It was just all hell broke loose. And then I got one of the sickest that I've ever been when I was since I've been a Christian. I got so sick. I had so many different infections in different places in my respiratory system, my ears, my eyes. I mean, it was so bad. I came home for Christmas time after that sickness. She vouched for it. Lost so much weight, I was almost unrecognizable. That's how much weight I lost. And here I was at a faith Bible school that teaches you how to get healed. In 2 weeks, I'm laying in the pitch black. I drug my mattress into this big walk-in closet I had in my apartment that one door led to the bathroom, one door led to the bedroom, and I shut the door so there were no windows. In the pitch black for 2 weeks, the only time I would come out would be to eat a little bit, and that's when I got acquainted with Little House on the Prairie. I'd never watched that show before. I thought, man, this is good stuff. I like that show, you know? And so that was one good thing that came out of that sickness. I got introduced to Laura Ingalls. Amen. And anyway, so I was sicker than a dog, you know, just terrible. Things not going good. Well, here I was, smack dab in the center of the will of God for my life, and absolute hell is breaking loose. Why? Think about it. What was the word given unto me? Go to Rhema. What did the Bible say in Mark chapter 4 and verse 17? That when the word comes, there comes tests and trials for the word's sake, to try to get that word. Well, what do you think those tests and trials tempted me to do? To absolutely violate what the word was to me, go to Rhema, go to school to Rhema. What did that test and trial try to get me to do? You don't know how many times I almost packed my bags up and came home. What did the tests and trials do? Exactly what they're supposed to do. For the word's sake. For the word's sake. Right? You know, it's the same thing you see with baby Christians. When I say baby Christians, I don't mean like whiny baby Christians. I mean like baby age-wise, spiritually-wise. You know, they'll come in, they'll get born again, they'll get excited. They'll hear, wow, you can be healed. You can have prosperity. You can follow the Holy Ghost. You can be led into all sorts of wonderful things. They'll come and they'll plant their feet in a church. Well, do you think the devil's going to let that go unchallenged? Because a Christian that's in church doing the Word of God is a danger to the devil's kingdom. Amen. So we see it all the time. People get faithful, and then, bam, hell breaks loose in their life. I mean, tests, I mean, the very things that they're believing for, it's like it goes in the opposite direction, and hell breaks loose. Why? To get them to back off. Oh, this doesn't work. This isn't going to, you know, you'll preach on healing and people will get sick. Oh, that didn't work. Well, that's what the devil's trying to do. The tests and trials arise for the word's sake. It's the truth. Or you'll preach on finances and people will get excited about start doing it and then they'll get fired or something in their job will happen or something will break down and cost them lots of money. Why? To come and try to take the word. But see, when you understand that the word is faithful and that when he speaks the word, it doesn't matter how much hell is unleashed against that. If you'll stick with it, the end result will be blessing. Has to be. Has to work for your favor. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. I want to show you this. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. What am I trying to tell you? Don't back off of God's will, but don't be surprised when hell shows up. But we talked about Sunday. God gave us a remedy for hell showing up. It's called faith, man. Praise God. Faith will get hell off your back.
Praise God.
The shield of faith quenched all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Man, I'll tell you, there's sometimes things happen. I get so excited when bad things happen to me because I say, oh, devil, you must know something good's up ahead. Praise God. Well, don't just take my story for it. Let's look at what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1 says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Now notice this wording. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. So were Moses and Aaron reporting based on what they thought, or were they reporting based on what God said? What God said. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now remember, whatever God says is God's will. That's his will. Let my people go. You see that there? That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. So what was the will of God in that situation? That Moses and Aaron go in and tell Pharaoh, let them go. Moses and Aaron were not in disobedience, showing up to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. God told them to do that. They were just obeying the will of God. Well, let's see what happens. Verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Hallelujah. You know, right there you can see the ignorance of what they didn't know about God. That God would fall on them with the sword and pestilence? No, that sounds like the thief. Amen? God's not, you know, the Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Remember this, Bible school students, and this is for all of you if you're in here. You're a student of the Bible. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. The Old Testament is types and shadows, and it's written in darkness. The New Testament sheds light on everything in the Old Testament. You don't interpret the Bible by the Old Testament. You interpret the Old Testament by the revelation and the light we have in the New Testament. When Jesus came and said, I've come to give you life more abundantly, and there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Acts 10:38 says that the devil oppresses people with sickness, that's the light that was shed that the Old Testament people never had, that Job never had. Amen? So don't be interpreting the Bible by the Old Testament. That's not how Bible interpretation is done. It's always interpreted by the New Testament. The light of the New Testament sheds the light on the darkness of the Old Testament. But there you go. You can see right there the ignorance that God fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. God don't have no pestilence or no sword to kill people. And the king of Egypt said unto them, where do ye Moses and Aaron? Let the people from their works get under your burdens. Now look at this. So the will of God was, go tell Pharaoh, let him go. Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, you shall no more, this ticked him off, you shall no more give the people straw to make bricks. So evidently, as slaves, their job was to make brick, and they made brick out of straw. It says, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick, and here too from now on, let them go and gather straw for themselves. Hard enough to make it as it is. And now you got to find the materials yourself. And the tale of the bricks, or the amount of the bricks, verse 8, which they did make before today, you shall lay upon them, and you shall not diminish the aught thereof, for they be idle, therefore cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. So he's saying the quota that they had before when we gave them the materials, we're not bringing it down because they don't have the materials now. So we are still expecting them to make as much brick without the materials as we were when they had the materials. Well, what happens when a slave doesn't obey and fulfill their quota? They get beat, right? They get maybe diminished in what their food rations were, so it wasn't good for them. Verse 9, let there be no more work laid upon the men that they labor, therefore. And let them not regard vain words. Verse 10, and the taskmasters of the people went out in their office, and they spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go yourselves, you get straw where you can find it, and the ought of your work shall not be diminished, or the quota that you have to fulfill, not going down. Well, here's a perfect example. God's will leading to test and trial, rising up. The will of God was, go tell them, let my people go. What happened? Hell on earth. Yeah. Hell on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. It's crazy. When God told us to get into the old building, which is the old sanctuary, at the time, the church finances didn't really line up to do a move like that. And I remember God giving me the green light to do it, and so I want to obey him. And so we went forward to do it by faith, stepping out in faith to do it. And, all I could see were the bills and everything like that. Well, the interesting thing, a couple things happened. The day that I got the keys to the building that naturally was going to take faith to pay for, I got a phone call from faithful people in the church who were big givers and big helpers to me. And I just seen them. This was a Thursday morning. I just seen them on Wednesday night. Got a hug from the husband. Told me, Pastor Mike, I love you. I will see you Sunday. Thursday morning, I get a call from the wife telling me, you will never see us ever again. The day I got the keys to the new church. Some of the biggest givers in the place leave, and the biggest helpers that we're going to need are gone. Test and trial rises for the word's sake. When we got into the new building, the offerings went so much so, if some of you are around, you remember, I actually sent everybody a letter. Why? Because the Holy Ghost told me to. Because, listen, I recognize, it ain't going to be just me that's going to do this. Don't expect me just to bring my tithes and offerings and pay for this thing. Listen, we're a family here. Amen? You remember, I remember talking to my pastor about saying, Pastor, the offerings went down. And I said, we're not going to be able to do the work of God. Like, just don't think that this is going to automatically just happen around here. Your role in this is just as big as my role in this. We are all in this together. We might have different roles, but your role is no less important than my role. It's a different role, but you have a role to play too. What is it? Be faithful. Show up hungry. Be a financial supply. Pray. Release your faith. Seek God. Serve in the church. Amen. That's how it keeps the thing rolling along. And you stop giving, this place is gone. You stop serving, this place is gone. You stop believing God, the devil will work in here. It's just the truth. You stop praying, it's absolutely the truth. I'm not just saying it to make you feel good. And I'm telling you. You know, and in fact, let's just be honest. If we look at the human body, you know, I'm a part that I'm seeing all the time. But you know what the most important parts of the human body are? The ones you can't see. You can't see the heart, but you need it. You can't see the kidneys, but you need them. You can't see the liver, but you need it. You know, you don't see the cleaners during the week, but they're needed. You might not see the people serving. You might not see the people giving sacrificially behind the scenes or serving in the nursery. They don't get recognition or serving over in children's church or praying or, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and pastors on their heart or pastor's family or the church and they're sowing and praying. But those things are vital to the health and the operation of this church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so anyways, the offerings went down. I talked to my pastor and said, Pastor, I don't know if this sounds crazy to you or not, but I need to run this by you. The Spirit of God's telling me, write a letter and be bold in that letter. He said, you obey God and be the pastor. So I did. I sent a letter to everybody that was at the church that time, told them, listen, you know, it was summertime, and people seem to forget about God in the summer. They don't forget about their cell phone bill. They don't forget about their electric bill. They don't forget about their car payments. They don't forget about their insurance payment. For some reason, people forget about God in the summertime. Well, the God things still go on. The bills still come in and different things. So I sent a letter out. Why? Because it's amazing. God said, get the new building. When we got in the new building, chaos erupted. Yeah. Didn't have money to pay for the new building. People are leaving the church. Why? affliction, persecution arise for the word's sake. But see, God knew all that would happen. Still told us to get the building. God knew everything that would happen when I went to Rhema. Still told me to go. Because see, God sees more than just that brush and that thick stuff in front of you. He sees the wide open woods to just walk through to the main road. Here's the awesome thing, that when God told us to go into that building that looked like at times we couldn't pay for it and people were leaving left and right, he already saw this building with people already in it.
Amen.
He said, I didn't stop it at that building. I see beyond what you can see. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's what arises for the word's sake. Now we'll close with this. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You know, I don't have time to go there, but I just want to make mention of this. You can look this up. In Acts chapter 16, we're going to go to Mark 4 and verse 35. You know, there's examples of this all over in the Bible. You know, there was a decree by Nebuchadnezzar that you shall not, that when the instruments are played, you ought to fall down and worship the idols. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to follow God's plan. Well, they followed God's plan, and they found themselves in a fiery furnace. Yeah. And not only that, but it was turned up 7 times hotter. Did the will of God, and what? The fire got hot. But you know what? This came to me last night. Sometimes I'll preach along the same lines in Old Land. Sometimes I won't. But this came to me last night. Never had saw this before. Because when you're in His will, you can be in the fire. But do you know that with forest fires, what comes after the forest fire is so healthy to the environment? The most lush and productive and different. You know, they'll do controlled burns because they know that the result of when the fire goes out is going to be so good for the land. It's not so bad sometimes being in the fire, people. In fact, it's the hottest fire that the best and the most pure gold comes out of, and the most refined gold comes out of the hottest fire. It is the truth. The hotter the fire, the more glorious the end result. It's just the absolute truth. It's just the absolute truth. That's why we stay faithful, because we're going to see it through and see what He has for us. But we see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said this. He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He said, though I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Right? Praise God. But we see in Acts chapter 16, Paul saw in a vision to go over to Macedonia. He saw in a vision go over there. Well, he went over there and cast the devil out of a girl that was being used by people. Well, the people that were using her when the devil was cast out of her couldn't use her anymore, and they lost their money. So they found the people that did it, Paul and Silas. They threw them in prison, beat them naked, stripped them down, threw them in the inner prison, their feet fast in stocks, the Bible said. Here he obeyed God and found himself in prison naked and beaten. Why? Comes for the word's sake. There was a mighty work to be done in Macedonia. You'd have thought Paul would have said, I am out of here. Right? Kind of like, I'm out of Oklahoma. Get me out of here. Well, that's what the tests and trials do. Now, here we're going to see why here in a second. This will set you free. Mark 4 and verse 35 says, the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them. Well, remember what we said? How do you get into God's perfect will? His word. So when Jesus says something, that's the word or the will of God. Let us pass over to the other side. So what was the will or the word of God? Passing to the other side. Getting to the other side was the will of God. So it says, and they had sent away the multitude. They took him with him as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now the disciples are in the greatest storm of their life. Why? Because they obeyed God.
Yeah, amen.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
He said, get in the boat. That's why we see all the time. The Bible says, get a pastor and get into church. People do that and bam, hell breaks loose in their life. Well, what's that? The natural mind would say, hey, things were better when I didn't go to church. And the devil says, yeah, they were. That's what this test of trial is for, to steal the word from you. Hey, things were a lot better when I didn't tithe. I had more money. And the devil says, yeah, just keep not doing that word of God. We'll get you. I'm telling you, it's the truth. That's how he does things. So they obeyed God and found themselves in the greatest storm of their life. And they were in direct obedience in the perfect will of God. See, you have to recognize this so you don't get afraid to back out of doing the things that God has for you. Because you got to learn to be comfortable under pressure. And that's why I brought Psalm 23, where he said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of my enemies. Notice what God says. I'm not inviting you to sit down and enjoy with nobody else around you. I'm telling you, you're going to have to learn to enjoy my benefits and my blessing with pressure all around you. See, in this life, the faith life is always a life of reaching and pressing for more. Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. I reach unto those things that are before. I press. Press. You know what press sounds like? Effort, energy, exertion. Not just waltzing into things, but to get to where God goes. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 16, he said, there's a great door of opportunity open unto you, but at that door stands adversaries. What are the adversaries doing? Trying to keep you out of that door of opportunity. There's a reaching, there's a pressing, that if we're going to always increase and go to more and more and more, which is God's will, it's going to not be unchallenged. Yeah. And we have to recognize that, and we have to learn to be very comfortable with the faith life. Remember I said that I was going through that test, believing God for the building, believing God for my house, and I got the revelation, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, and I realized, wait a second, I'm complaining about having to believe God, when God says, when you're in this place, this is what makes me happy when you believe me, and it turned the whole thing around. You got to be okay and be comfortable with believing God when the seen realm shows you nothing to grab hold of. Amen. And you got to be comfortable with that pressure of the natural telling you no and the word telling you yes. You got to be comfortable there. Don't mean you have to like it, but you got to learn to be comfortable. So they're in the perfect will of God. And he, verse 39, he arose, rebuked the wind and the said in the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? We know that. They feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of this man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Now this is what I want you to see. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. Well, what was the word of God in the beginning? Let us go unto the other side. Now, remember what the Bible says. When the word comes, in Mark 4 and verse 16 and 17, tests and trials, affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. Well, what was the word here? We're going to the other side. Well, before they got to the other side, what happened? It said there arose, see the wording? There arose a great storm of wind. Or what? Affliction, persecution, tests, and trials. With what Mark 4 earlier on said, that when the word comes, it comes for the word's sake. So when the word was given, let's go to the other side, the tests and trials arise. Why? To get that word out of the life. So that word, the not just the giving of the word, but the fulfilling of the word. You know, it wasn't just the go to Rhema word. It was the fulfilling of go to Rhema. Amen? It's not just the word that comes to you, the written word. It's the fulfilling of the word that leads to the blessing. That's why the enemy comes to get you from backing off of the walking that out. Because on the other side of the walking out of that word, that's where the blessing is. It's not the giving of the word. It's the walking out of the word and getting to the other side of that word. So here the word came. Let's go to the other side. Just like the Bible says, when the word comes, afflictions and persecutions arise. Will you pull that up, Sue, Mark 4 and verse 17? I want people to see this again because it's exactly what happened in this boat. It says they have no root in themselves, Mark 4:17. Endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise, remember there arose a great storm of wind, a great storm on the sea, after he said, let's go to the other side. Well, the Bible here says that affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. So now go back to Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. When they came over unto the other side. So on that other side, they've now fulfilled the word. The affliction and the test was not able to take them out. They obeyed and fulfilled the will or the word of God. Now let's see why the afflictions and persecution arise for the word's sake. This is going to make you shout and rejoice for what you're going through right now. You're going to understand. You're going to say, Pastor, I've been doing everything. I've been tithing. I've been serving God. I've been being as faithful as I know how to be, follow my heart, and things are just getting worse and worse. Time to start rejoicing because your day's coming. Because they found themselves in the worst storm of their life, but they always say it gets darkest before the dawn, right? When the storm's the darkest, it's about, you know, just realize this. When it gets so dark, the only place it can go is get light. Amen. Just the truth. Well, let's see why. He said they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. Let's find out why the devil would cause a test and trial to arise to get them to back off the word that said, go to the other side. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. What's that mean? A demonic spirit. Now, let me ask you, do you think that the devil knew that this man was on the other side? Absolutely. He was inhabiting the guy. He was the one living in this gentleman. So the devil knew when Jesus said, go to the other side, the devil said, oh God, the one that can take care of what I'm doing to this guy is on his way. I need to stop it. When he says tithe, when he says go to church, when he says forgive, when he speaks something in your heart, hey, give that offering. Hey, go talk to that person. God knows what's on the other side of that, but so does the devil. The devil knows that the fulfillment of that word is going to bring something that's going to hurt his kingdom. So I'm going to kick up a storm and get them to back off that word. The devil knew, uh-oh, they get to the other side, uh-oh. Immediately came a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains. You ever see sometimes those shows where they'll show prisoners that, I mean, it takes like 5 or 6 grown men to control them. They have like almost like supernatural strength. This guy had supernatural strength. Why? Empowered by the enemy. Demonic spirit. It said no man could bind him, not even with chains. He'd break through the chains. Because that often he had been bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. This guy's got a spirit on him. He's possessed of the devil. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, do not torment me. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. The devil didn't want that to happen. Why? The devil's in the oppression and the possession business. He loved keeping this man hurt. Why? Because the devil's the stealer, the killer, the destroyer. What makes us sick, it makes me sick to think about this man. Cutting himself night and day in the tombs, being so possessed of the enemy. How terrible. What breaks my heart, that causes the devil to get excited. The devil's a perverted force. He's thrilled. The more he can oppress and hurt, destroy and cause hurt to your life, that's why we should not partner with the devil. That's why we should not have anything to do with him. He's a sick and twisted entity. He gets so much joy at our heartache and our hurt. He loves it. He does. And he knew. Jesus said, come out of him. And he asked him, he said, what is your name? He answered, he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would send him out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. See, all of a sudden, this man that's crazy is now a walking, talking billboard for Jesus Christ. Jesus was a walking, talking devil destroyer. No wonder. No wonder. He didn't want him to get to the other side. Verse 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed, and he was in his right mind. And they were afraid. Why? They'd never seen him like this before. He was just that crazy guy up in the mountains that screamed all the time and cut himself. That weirdo up there. Now he's delivered and sitting with the master. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed of the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil prayed that he would be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. Wouldn't allow him to go with him. He said, no. You got a mission. He said, go home and tell your friends. Oh, man. Tell them there's a man walking the earth that is the answer to all their problems. That the devil might tell them one thing, but you tell them there's a man that sets you free. Glory to God. Go tell them how great things the Lord has done and has compassion on you. Because if this man can be set free, do you know what that would do to everybody else? Oh my gosh. Walking, talking billboard. He said, go tell him. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. What is on the other side? See, you might have endeavored, or you might, this message might get you to endeavor. You know what? I'm going to do it God's way. What do you got to lose?
Right. Come on.
Has it worked your way?
No.
Didn't work my way. Works his way. And you might say, I'm going to do it God's way. That's where the blessing is. I heard that in the beginning of the service. And so you might get ready to do it God's way, or you're doing it God's way. And chaos and hell has broke loose in your life. Well, what is on the other side of that obedience? Why is it so hot? Why is the pressure so hard? What is the other side? We have Bible on it now that the devil scared to death of you getting to the other side of that problem. But see, when you endeavor to do it God's way, it's the best decision you ever made. But get ready, it won't go unchallenged. Because the devil knows that if you'll stay in God's will, your life's going to get completely better. You're not only going to get completely better, you're going to become a walking, talking billboard for Jesus. And then people around you are going to get better. It's just the way it's going to go. So, don't give up. Don't back off. Don't let down. Praise God. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, till you get to the other side. How long do I have to go till? Till you get to the other side. Amen. You don't stop till you get to the other side. No test, no lie, no challenge from hell is going to get us to back off the will of God. We are grounded in it, and it'll pay off. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord, it will make you rich if you'll allow it to work in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the word tonight. We bless you. We love you. We glorify you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and for your kindness. You are so wonderful. You are so good. We bless your name. We honor you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We bless you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. There's people listening by live stream, and there's people in this room. There's people listening by archives in the future. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that's the only way to heaven, by accepting Jesus. You need to accept Jesus to go to heaven. Well, it's a free gift. It'd be silly not to receive him. It doesn't cost you anything. How do I get there? Well, you just believe on him. The Bible says if you call on his name, you'll be saved. It has nothing to do with how good or bad you've been. It has nothing to do with how generous or how cheap you've been. It has nothing to do with how much church you've attended or how little church you've attended. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. So if you're here, I say it this way, if you can hear my voice right now and you can say, I've never accepted Jesus. I do believe in him. I believe he died and rose again. It's not enough to believe that he died and rose again. The devil believes that. But see, the difference is the devil doesn't accept him into his life. You got to accept Jesus in your heart. You got to ask him. He's not a bully. He doesn't barge the door down. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in here, I won't embarrass you. But if you want to receive Jesus tonight and know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, nobody's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand in the air if anybody in here want to receive Jesus for the first time? I don't know everybody. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Just put your hand in the air and I'll help you put it right back down. Father, I don't see any hands in this building, but Lord, if there's by chance somebody under the sound of my voice, whether in the building or out of the building or in the future, that has not received Jesus, I pray they would not pass from this life until they made him their Lord and Savior. And how you do that is you just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. It's that simple. So, Father, we love you. Let's just praise him tonight. Let's thank him. Hallelujah. If you could keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, I speak this by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Those of you that are in here, life is constantly... Now see, there's a heads are bowed, eyes are closed. There's a difference between challenges and being stuck in a rut of defeat. The Christian that's in the will of God will have challenges, but they'll always come out on top. Things will always get better. If things for a prolonged time are not getting better in your life, And life just constantly seems to be chaos after chaos, heartbreak after heartbreak, crisis after crisis. There's something wrong. That's not the flow of the abundant life. Again, there are seasons of tests and trials, but there also are seasons of victory and overcoming. And if those seasons of victory are just constantly eluding you over time and time, and things are getting worse and worse, and it's constant heartbreak, crisis, and chaos, something's off. And I'm here to tell you, you're foolish to think it's ever going to get better until you submit to doing it God's ways. Now listen up, I'm speaking by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This is the three ways that you get on God's plan for your life. It's the most simple thing in the world. If people would do this, they would not struggle. Number one, you get born again. That gets you into the family. That gets you into the position to receive from Him. Number one, you're born again. The second thing you must do, if you want to receive God's highest and best, you have to become faithful and submit to a Bible-teaching pastor and plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church. Jesus said, if you don't do that, your life will be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. Until you do step number two, stop thinking your life is going to change. It's not. And then step number three, it's so simple. Whatever word you hear the pastor preach or God speak into your heart, simply do the word. If people would make those three steps in their life, they would change. But there's people in here, I don't know exactly who all of them are, but by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, something of those three steps is out of order. Get saved, get into a church that teaches the word, and do the word that you hear in that church. My God, how life would be different for you. My God, how life would change for you. And while you're doing the word, is that's when He'll start to hone you and get you more centered as well. He'll start speaking certain things to you. He'll start saying things like, hey, separate from that person. Hey, put that thing down in your life. It's hindering you. Hey, pick up the area in here and you're giving and you're more financial. That's when He'll start speaking to you outside the word of God, and you'll start getting so much centered and so much blessing in His will. But He's not going to speak to you until you can first at least obey the written word. Oh, life's hard, life's hard, life's hard. Well, why are you in church once every 6-7 weeks? It's not going to get better. Why don't you do the word that's being taught? You're in church, but you don't do the word. That's not going to help you. So by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, by word of knowledge, I say that to you tonight. Those three steps, you get born again, you get faithful in a church, and you be faithful to do what's preached in that church, in that word, and what God speaks on your heart. Life will change for you. Amen? Father, thank you for our help tonight. We bless you, we glorify you, we magnify you, in Jesus' name, amen. It seems good in my spirit to unhook right there, so we will. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you are dismissed. Be blessed.